always a privilege to be up here to be able to share the word with you. You know, for those that are new to our church, at First Light, we've been really sharing about prayer and unity. And you know, we've had, I've been very blessed by the previous sermons. You know, Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Rena's really sharing what does it mean in terms of the foundations of prayer. At its core and at its essence, it's actually just having a conversation and a dialogue with God. And then we had John Ong share with us about what it means in our prayer life to have this closeness and this intimacy. And last week, I was blessed by our brother Kelvin, who really shared from his heart. And he talked about what it means is to have that persistence, but also that patience in prayer as well. You know, when our prayers become unanswered, what do we do in those situations? And this afternoon, I also want to share, I guess, my personal journey of where God has taken me. And I don't know, and I'm going to be very honest with you, I don't know if it's like that for many of you out there, but we understand the power of prayer. We understand the value of prayer. But I can share with you personally, at some point in my life, I've actually lost that joy in prayer. And there's many people within our congregation, you know, that are so gung-ho and so passionate. Our own senior pastor, Pastor Rena, wakes up at 4 a.m., to pray. You know, I was talking to her last week. You know, she's still recovering, but she still wakes up early just to pray for everyone in this community. And aren't we so blessed to have a senior pastor that continually just covers us in the spirit and in prayer as well, even while she's resting. And so this afternoon, church, I really want to share what it actually means. And God's been revealing this to me over the past period of time. And you know, I want to also acknowledge that as much as we want to will it, we actually need a change in our heart. We naturally need a change in our spirit for it to occur. And we are all at different journeys in our life. But what's most important is, as a community, as believers, we are moving forward together. Amen, church? And so the title of my sermon today is growing into God instead of growing out of God. Growing into God instead of growing out of God. You know, I've been reflecting on what happens when you get older. And it's okay if you do this, by the way. This is no judgment on that side. But as we get older, we try to be younger, right? We go to the gym more often, no? We work out, we try to eat healthier with our diets, whatever else. Some of us might even dye our hair, which is okay. I haven't dyed my hair. This is all natural, by the way. People have asked me, but we do these things, right? And then, and I'll have to share with you a funny story. There was a gentleman that came up to me just a month ago, and he came up to me and he said, he hasn't seen me for like 7 years, right? And he said, "Sang, is that you? You're like the bloody Asian Benjamin Button." So for those that don't know who Benjamin Button is, so 2008, there was a movie called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And it's a fictitious story, so this isn't real. But he suffered from a disease, right? And as each year progresses, he actually became younger. So you can see there, he's progressed from old and he actually got younger. And the star of the show is none other than Brad Pitt. So I walked away and thinking to myself, wow, Asian Brad Pitt. You can't go wrong with that comparison. I'm glad my wife's not here because I know she'll be cringing at the moment because obviously not Brad Pitt. But this is what it means, right? This is what the revelation that God has given me. And what he said to me was this. He said, we spend a lot of time, right? We want to be physically younger. We want to be healthier as well. And God really convicted me. And he said, "Sang, what happens if you had that mindset when it came to your spiritual and prayer life? What happens if you have that same mindset in relation to your spiritual and prayer life?" And you know what? God wasn't saying to me that I needed to do more. What he was saying to me was, how do I have that mindset shift to actually be younger? Actually be younger. So that's what we're going to explore today, church. We are going to get younger, okay? We're going to get younger, and thank God we don't have to actually do any exercise for this. So I know everyone's quite relieved by that side. We're going to get younger. There is no magical fountain of youth. But you know what? We're going to have the Spirit of living waters flow through us. So let me open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time that we are able just to be in your presence. Remind us of what it was to first get to know who you are. That first love in our hearts. To have that renewing and that refreshing in our lives once again. To know that you are our Father and our refuge in every situation, in the highs and lows. And we pray that this word today stirs and brings a flame and sparks this love and this earnest for who you are. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start by asking a question. You know, this is a bit of a hit and miss here, because sometimes when you're up here and you ask a question, there might be dead silence on that side of things. But what I like about it up here is I get to choose people to answer the question, right? So I'm looking around right now, and I know right now you're thinking, you're all praying right now, please God, don't let Sang choose me. So I've pretty much done my sermon, right? Because if we want to pray in unity, that's one way to do it, but that's in the spirit of fear. That's not what we're about, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. All right, I'm going to start. What happens when you get older? So this is not a trick question, right? So think about it when you're a child to when you're older, either in uni, high school, or to an adult. What happens to your dependency on others? How does that change over time? So what happens when you, as you from a child or from a baby to when you are now, what happens to your dependency on others? Scream it out there. Less? Yes? You have less dependency. Why is that? Why are you less dependent on others as you grow older? Sorry? You're more capable, right? You learn more. You have experiences and exposures. Your knowledge is gained more, right? Is that true? So we become more independent. At the same time, we have more responsibilities. We have more burdens on our shoulders as well. But we also have more distractions. There are more things that come in our way that we have to manage as well. You know, I find for in this world, we are taught to seek out acceptance. You know, as we get older through uni, through work life, we seek to acceptance, right? In different clubs, in different areas, by different people. But that removes us further from the truth that we are already accepted by the Father. We seek acceptance, but it moves us further from the truth that we are already accepted. You know, Pastor Matt and Adeline came to visit us about a month and a half ago. And they came in and they shared with us. And they shared with us, you know, what it meant to be like children of God. Like we talk about being sons and daughters. And Kelvin last week talked about our inheritance as sons and daughters as well. And so this afternoon, I'm not sharing about what it means to be sons and daughters. What I want to share about is to be younger. Younger in a way, when I'm referring to, is having that childlike faith. And what it means to have that childlike faith. Are you with me, church? All right, fantastic. So we're going to go to scripture right now. All right, we're going to go to Mark. So if you have your Bibles, you can read up there. Mark chapter 9, 33 to 37. And you know, this is the disciples here. They were traveling, right? They were traveling to Capernaum. And they were in the house. And then Jesus looked around at them because they were arguing. And Jesus said to them, what were you arguing about on the road? And they kept quiet because they were actually a bit sheepish, a bit ashamed, right? Because they were arguing who was the greatest. They were talking about themselves. Who is the greatest, you know, amongst themselves? Who was the greatest? And sitting down, Jesus called to the 12 and said this, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. And he took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them this, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but welcomes the one who sent me. If we look at the Gospels, you look at these events, you look at it from different perspectives. And I love Matthew 18, 1 to 4. And it's about the same event, right? You know, they're down the road, the disciples and Jesus asked, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus responded, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Amazing, right? So what is Jesus saying in here? Is he asking us to regress to become like children? Is that what he's asking us to do? Is he asking us to, I don't know, drink formula or whatever else we want to do? No. He's actually asking us to be childlike and have that childlike faith. That's right. That's what he's challenging us to do. And we're going to break this down this afternoon, church. And I'll break it down to three things. What it means to be childlike. And the first piece is about humility. I talked about the world, right? The world teaches us that it's all about position. It's all about status. I could be a doctor. I could be an engineer. Or am I a tradesperson? We look at our positions and our statuses, our role occupations to define who we are. The world values things. The world values hierarchy. That's what we are taught when we go out into society. But you know, God's world is fundamentally different. God's world is so backwards, back to front. Am I right? You know, it says in that first verse, if we are to be the first, we need to be the last and servant of all. Jesus came to this earth not to rule as a king like everyone thought he would do. He came here to serve. He died on that cross for every single one of us, even though we didn't deserve it. There's an image there. He was washing the disciples' feet. This is the humility. This is the servant heart. And you look at children. You look at children. They too are humble. When they see their caregivers, when they see their teachers, they open their ears to hear and to listen. They are ready to receive from others. But as we grow older, our knowledge and our ability stop us from doing that. If you translate that into our spiritual and prayer life, as we get older, we get more responsibilities, we get more things. But what stops us from becoming closer to the Father? Do we get distracted to seek Him? Do we get so caught up in the things of the world that we don't take a moment to actually converse in Him in prayer? Do we actually grow out of God? Do we actually grow out of God? I remember I spoke with a leader one time and she was sharing with me that she went to an assembly with her child. And when she went to the assembly, she said to her daughter, oh my goodness, there's a person in a wheelchair, there's Africans, there's Americans, there's, you know, Europeans. Wow, there's so much diversity at your school. And the child looked at her puzzled and go, what are you talking about, Mum? That's like that every single day. You know, when we look at things and we look at people, we segregate and we classify. But for children, they see people for who they are. They don't worry about positions. They don't worry about statuses. They just see them for who they are. That is what we're talking about when we share about humility. The Greek word for humility, for those that don't know, is pronounced tapinoo. Can you say that after me? Tapinoo. And what that actually means is height. It actually means to bring low to the ground. In Latin, humus actually means ground, right? It actually means ground. So what humility talks about is actually bringing us down to the ground. And you've seen it a number of times where, particularly Pastor Rena and John as well, you see them when they come down and they pray. They pray in this position for what reason? It's about posture. It's about our posture with the Father. The world teaches us about our position and our status, but it's not our position. It's actually how we posture our heart before the Lord. Are you getting me, church? When the world teaches us these things, but we come before Him in a humble manner to seek Him. And I want to be clear here, me coming down this, down here and bending down, it's got nothing to do with my identity. It's got nothing to do with your identity. Our identity is rooted in Christ. Our identity is sons and daughters. But humility is about our posture and our posture in seeking the Father. Are you getting me, church? This is what it means. I don't know, I remember a recent story when I was preparing for this, and there was this high school, right? And there was these girls at high school, and then what was happening was the teachers were getting very frustrated. And they were getting frustrated with these high school kids because what they would do is the girls, they would like keep on drawing within the toilets on the mirror walls, right? And they'll put it on their lips and they'll kiss the mirrors, and it was constantly frustrating for the teachers. And they put all these punishments in place, like all these ramifications in place or consequences, but it didn't get the girls from stopping to put lipstick on, kissing the mirrors, writing messages, etc. And the teachers didn't know what to do. So they were standing in the staff room, they're very frustrated, and then this cleaner was listening to the conversation. And the cleaner said, "I know what I can do. I know a way to solve it." And they turned around, they looked at her and go, "What would this cleaner know? We're teachers. We're educators. What would this cleaner know and how to solve this?" But the wise principal said there, the wise principal was there, he goes, "No, ma'am, if you have an idea, let's see what that idea is." So the very next day, she was in the bathroom, and she was cleaning the floors, etc. And she waited for the girls to come in, right? These girls with lipstick prepared to write on these mirror walls. And then she started dipping her mop in. She started cleaning floors. Then she cleaned the toilets. She cleaned around the sink. And then she asked the girls, "Can you move aside, please?" She started to wash the mirrors with the same mop that she used for the toilet. You can imagine the horrified look on those girls' faces. They were like dry retching, right? And they asked the cleaner, "Is that what you always do?" He goes, "Yeah, I do this every single day." From that point on, you can imagine the girls never kissed that mirror again. It's about humility. Do we see people the way God sees people? Or are we worried about positions and statuses? That lady there knew what to do when others didn't know what to do. And it wasn't about her position. It was actually about her heart. Are you getting me, church? Is this good? All right. So humility, what is next? It's about trust and faith. Trust and faith. You know, kids have this way of just claiming the truth. They don't have to worry about any barriers or other things that get in the way. Kids have an ability just to claim that truth. They have this trust and faith. And you can imagine right here, like when Jesus brought that child, I think John was sharing a month ago, if I can remember correctly, if it was you or not, John. But anyway, we were sharing that back in those days, for us to compare ourselves with a child is something very radical, because children were considered the lows of the lows. Back then, children had a really poor social status. And for Jesus to say that for you, the greatest of all, and for you to go to the kingdom of heaven, you need to be like a child, this was fundamentally shifting in the disciples' minds. They were very confused. And to know that kids here, they have this trust and unwavering faith to ask for anything. And it reminded me of this story, and I've shared this story previously about my daughter Mia. And she was 4 years old at the time, and we struggled a fair bit about her sleeping. You know, we would, like, months on end try to help her sleep, but she would continually go into our room and sleep next to us. And normally for a parent, you probably think, oh, that's fine, you know, your child just wants to love you, wants to sleep. But my child, she never sleeps still. She's like an acrobat. Her legs are like this, whack, whack. I would come out of it pretty bruised and battered. And I kid you not, church, I sleep with two pillows now. This is how traumatized. You can ask my wife. I have one pillow draped on my body and the other one on my head because she still comes in our room and that's for protection. People ask me, well, why don't you have a third child? I really can't have a third child. So she moves and she kicks, and it was getting to a point where we needed to do something about it. And as good parents do, we thought bribery. You know, we will resort to bribery. And so I brought Mia in, and then I sat her down. I had a chat with her, and I said, Mia, you know, you keep coming into our bed. We're struggling to sleep. And I said to her, tomorrow, we're going to go for treats. We're going to go for ice cream. So you can come into our bed if you want to. But if you do, you won't get ice cream the next day. And she goes, oh, okay, Daddy, I won't come into your bed, because she loves her ice cream. And so we went to sleep that night, and I think, oh, this is it. This is the night, church, that she would not come in. Anyway, at 10 o'clock, she wasn't there. And I was thinking, oh, because she normally comes in at 10 o'clock. At 10:05, I hear the door. And then she comes in. And she stands next to me. It's something like a horror movie, The Ring, with her hair down on her face. I'll show you, this is my daughter there. Like I said, she's like Kung Fu Panda. She kicks everywhere. So she comes in. I said to her, just to make sure, I said, Mia, you can come into our bed. But if you do, you won't get ice cream the next day. And she thought about it for a moment, and then she decided, I'm going to go into your bed. So she came into our bed. She lied. I had my pillow there just for protection. And then the very next day, we got ready to go to Hillary's. And I was there with my wife. We were in the bathroom at that time. And I was getting ready, and I saw Mia come in. And I said to Mia, Mia, do you remember we're going to Hillary's today? She goes, yeah, I remember. We're going to get ice cream. Not to rub it in, but just to remind her about the consequences, right? We're going to get ice cream, and you can't have any. And then she looked at me. This is a four-year-old, right? She looks at me with a matter of fact and says, Daddy, I don't care. And we're thinking, whoa, four-year-old, so resilient. And then he goes, Daddy, I don't care because I know you're going to give it to me anyway. So why do I share this story? Is this story because I want to share about my inconsistent parenting? No, that's not the case. So kids, we'll have to, the young adults, if you ever have kids, we need to teach you a different lesson. But what I was sharing this story is her unwavering ability to claim things from the Father. She knows my heart. She knows my heart, or she's sucking me in, I don't know. But the example there is that the child knows the Father's heart. Do we know our Father's heart for us? Do we have that unwavering courage and belief in Him when the situations are high or the situations are low? Are we willing to seek Him first and foremost? That's the trust and faith. You know, in Luke chapter 11, it says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give them a snake? And which of you, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Therefore, if you who are evil are able to give good gifts, how much more would the Father give in the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? How much more would the Father give in the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? I probably had that image up there for a little bit too long. She's going to be upset. But this is about trust and faith. All right. So my last bit here is about simplicity. Simplicity. When we have this childlike faith, when we are positioned to have this childlike faith, we have this humility, we have this trust and faith. But children also have this simplicity. I feel that as we get older, we complicate things. I know we have more responsibilities, there's more that we think about, but there are times we complicate things that we don't actually move forward with the things that God have asked us to do. You know, we look at scenarios, we try to break things down and look at this risk. Well, what happens if this happened? What would I do? What happened if that happened? What would I do? And we create these barriers that are so difficult that we lose that moment to actually act, to do what God has asked us to do in that moment. You know, my kids, they constantly remind me of this. And, you know, I get frustrated with different situations and different problems a lot of the times. And my kids come up to me and say, "Dad, why don't you just pray about it?" And my first reaction, I'll share with you, my first reaction is, "What do you mean? I've got this. Because I'm reliant on what I do." But you know what? When we pray about it, He works. Because when we work, He rests. And when we rest, He works. This simplicity in our mind is not trying to create things that will stop us from seeing Him. You know, people ask, "Well, should I do it on my own effort and then come to see Him afterwards?" You know, should not God have given me these experiences or exposures and this wisdom to do it by myself first? And then I can see Him afterwards, right? I can talk to Him afterwards. But the thing is, prayer isn't about seeking things that we need from the Father. It's about that relationship that He wants with us. When you journey with your friends, with your families, you share about everything, right? You share about everything. And prayer is about sharing your life with Him, because it's not a transactional discussion or dialogue. It's actually a relationship that you are building. And He will grow you in that way. You know, like when we talk about that simplicity and not allowing barriers, I don't know if people have been there, like my kids don't mind interrupting me to ask for things. I don't know if Steve, you know, if there's any point in time you and I have a conversation and one of my children will come in right in between us and say, "Dad, when are we going to dinner? What are we going to do? Can the Tangs come with us?" They don't mind interrupting, right? They will cut through, right? But for us, it's like, "Oh, should I? I better wait for that moment. You know, if I want to share the gospel with them, I better wait for it to be quiet, for the lights to be a little bit dimmer than what it is now. I need the right mood to do these things." But do we overcomplicate that? We were sharing in our life group, and our life group, we were talking about this just last week on Friday, and we were sharing about, well, you know, I would do that if I was younger. You know, I would share that if I was younger. If I had more energy, I would do this. But let me share with you now, God has a calling for your life no matter what age you are. Whether you're young, whether you're old, God has a calling for your life. We don't have to overcomplicate it with the barriers that we want to put forward. We don't have to listen to what the world is actually saying. We need to hear and have that posture and hear what God is saying to us. Are you getting me, church? Can I invite the worship team up here? This is what it means to have this childlike faith. You know, God, as we get older, I feel sometimes that we can start moving away from the things that He has asked us to do. We are growing out of God instead of actually leaning in and growing into who He is. The world has set us apart, has segregated and split people up. But we need to see the world from God's eyes. We need to see people from God's eyes. We need to have that childlike faith. We need to be humble in our posture. It isn't about our position or status in the world, but it is about our hearts and our posture to see who He is. It's about having the courage to not miss those moments when He has asked us to speak into a life of another, or He has asked us to open our hearts to actually receive and hear from others as well. It's not just about speaking, it's also about hearing, and it's also about receiving. That is what trust and faith is. It is about that persistence and patience in prayer. We might not see things come to fruition in the time frame that we're expecting, but you know, God has always a plan that prospers us. And it's about that simplicity, church. the gospel isn't complicated. He came to this world to share about His love, not our love, His love that conquers all things. And we were sharing at the prayer just before, and we're talking about like, how would we share? How would we speak into someone's life? You know, Su Ching was saying, it's nothing more complicated than sharing someone loves you. And this person is Jesus. He died for you. You may not even know it. You may not even deserve it. But He did that for all of us because it's rooted in His love. When we can have that mindset shift, church, we're able to step out in that childlike faith. This is when we're going to get younger. It doesn't matter if you have grey hairs, you're going to have a youthful spirit. That spirit's going to revive and rejuvenate you. So I want to ask everyone just to stand up right now. Just open up your arms right now, church. Lord, we got everyone in here standing right now. Whether you're standing or you're sitting, Lord, we want that youthful spirit. That we want that childlike faith that you've asked us to see. That we have that posture in seeking you in all situations, good or bad. That we cry out to you, Lord, from the deepest of our hearts, from the depths of our souls. Whatever situation that we're in right now, it could be issues at home, could be issues at school, it could be challenges, but it could be at the highs, Lord. We praise you. Because our heart, each and every day, is to get to know you more and more intimately. And that we're going to see a refreshing and a rejuvenation in this community. In every person right here, right now. And as we walk out of these four walls of this church, we're going to have that refreshing of who you are. That when we see the next person, we're not going to be worried about how I'm going to say that, because the Spirit is going to give us the right words. The Spirit will give us the right time. We don't even have to worry about that time, because that time is when you know and when you see, you will just speak those words. And we will declare this in your most precious name. Amen.